Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Our guest this week is Emmanuel Avola, aka Coach Manny, a physiotherapist and founder of Cultural Health, London Select Running Team, and is a Nike running coach. And he's joining us to talk about the impact that aerobic exercise has on the body. Jane, aerobic exercise. How do you feel about it?
Honestly, this was like a science lesson to me, and I think some of our listeners will feel the same. To be honest, I didn't know what aerobic exercise was, and I've run a lot and written about running for a long time, which is quite shameful, actually, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
it's a safe space, so
it is a safe space. You can share away. I think it's not. No, it's absolutely not. I think you've done yourself a disservice because when we talk about something being aerobically fit or aerobic exercise, that's a sort of a very sort of generalized overview of what running does, what essentially moving the body in some capacity where your heart rate is elevated and you're moving. That's the broad spectrum of understanding what that is. What Manny breaks down in this, which is so interesting, is actually the impact that aerobic exercise has on the many different systems within the body and how they all work together or sometimes don't all work together and you know, that sort of stuff. So, I mean, yeah. Doesn't matter. I've been in this game a long old time, Jane, and I learned some new stuff. So it's great to have Manny on with his expertise and to run us through those sorts of things. But how's your running? Aerobic? You been hitting that aerobic marker?
Do you know what I have? I did did the Royal Parks half.
Great race.
Last weekend?
Great race.
Last weekend?
Yep.
It was last weekend. And just had a great time. I nearly missed the start, so arrived really late, as per. And then just ran, just went for it, and was okay, was pleasantly surprised, wasn't sure the foot would hold out, and it did hold out, and it was just fun to race again. But how about you, how's running going?
Running is going good, yeah. I've got nothing planned, nothing booked in. We've got a team outing this week, Runners World team outing. We're off to the North Downs Way for some...
I've heard about this.
North Downs Way for a bit of running and a bit of wine tasting. How's that for bringing two great worlds together? The world of wine and the world of running.
Yeah. As someone who worked at Runner's World, an insight to the listeners that you can't ever just do... You can't just ever go to the pub.
Can't just go for a run.
You have to do like a marathon beforehand or in this, you know, a relay or, you know, running along the M25 before you get to the pub. That's the secret.
Well, you know,
Jane, for anyone who wants a job at Runner's World, get ready for that.
Get ready for enforced fun that involves running. Yeah, so we're all looking forward to that on Thursday.
Enjoy.
A bit of running. Out running is all good. And I'm going to go for a run straight after this because our chat with Manny has made me consider running in a different manner. I'm going to go and open up my lower lobes. Hey. That's a clue.
Right.
Keep listening, right. Find out what I mean. And without further ado, here's our guest of the week.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Manny, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I think everyone will sort of go, yeah, I know what aerobic exercise is. What's, you know, what's going on? But when we talk about running, we kind of refer to everything as pace. I'm going for an easy run. I'm going to go for a tempo run. I'm going to do these sorts of things in a training block or whatever it is. Where does aerobic exercise fit into this? What is aerobic exercise?
So from my perspective and, you know, scientifically, we know that actually the aerobic system, so we have these different systems within our body that produce energy. The aerobic system is actually being used all the time. So We have to breathe. We have to use oxygen, okay, to breathe and open our lungs and, you know, get that oxygen into our system. And yes, it circulates through our bloodstream. And then also it's used in a system within our muscles to create energy. And it's important for us to realize that exercise can be in different energy systems. So everybody has heard of the aerobic. Hopefully you've heard of the anaerobic, and then there's also one called the phosphocreatine system. So these systems are all interlinked and they're working. Actually, sometimes we use all of them at the same time. So we get caught up in thinking I'm using only one. You're using majority of one, but your body might need to use all of these systems to really kind of get as much energy in as possible. So to clarify, the aerobic system, it utilizes oxygen. It allows us to train and exercise for long periods. And it's a really robust system, which we need to be using, and we need it to be strong to obviously perform and run, but also for our health.
Is there sort of a turning point that, as you say, the aerobic system is being used constantly? Is there a sort of a tipping point, be it heart rate, be it effort, that it switches from being in use to being worked and in a sort of like workout capacity, making it stronger?
Yeah, so we know that if we get into those higher zones, we are using less, the higher heart rate zones, we're using less of that aerobic system, we're using more of the anaerobic and phosphocreatine system, which work for shorter periods. And scientifically, we know that the aerobic system, it's being worked over longer periods. So over an hour, you're really starting to hone in on that aerobic system and really train it. But we do have to think about when we're using our body and exercising less than, you know, 40 minutes. We could be using a combination of all our systems to really drive and give us energy into our muscles. So it's important we realize that actually the aerobic system is really powerful. It's really good for long distances, but we can use other systems additionally.
When you're running and on your Garmin it says like the zones, they're to do with heart rate. How can we tell when we're, do you mean working this system for someone who... Do you mean a complete newbie like me? I go for a run. How do I know I'm working this aerobic system in my body?
For sure. What I'd say to you, Jane, is it's one of these things where it's conversational. It's a conversational pace. You're really able to hold a good conversation. But sometimes that can be difficult if you're really new to the sport. You know, being able to run and talk can be really challenging. And I always say to people, if you are getting to that point, I think maybe sometimes doing a run walk or making sure that you're really focusing in on how effortful is this. So from 0 to 10, 10 is really effortful. I would always advise people to be between 0 and 3 out of 10. It should be a really easy, easy run. And sometimes if you're very new to the sport, your heart rate may be a lot higher than the zone 1 or zone 2 that we would like it to be. So think about how it feels effort-wise, and thinking about walking is a really good thing to do, especially when you're brand new to the sport.
Yeah, I guess as a running coach, you must see all different types of people, and it's trying to get people to like slow down, I guess, and listen to their body more, and then they are building strength by going slower.
Yeah, for sure. I think like running is, it will build your strength. It will develop your muscles, your bone density, all those really good things. One thing I definitely see is that we get more confident and we run faster than our aerobic system because we're feeling more confident, we're feeling fitter. And I would say that being aware of how easy you're running is such a crucial thing, especially when you get more confident, you start feeling fitter. So maybe going for a run with a friend is really important because then you can have that conversation. I also tell people not to listen to really kind of fast music because you know when you listen to a fast song, you're like, whoa, actually, no, I was way off pace because the music is giving you a tempo. It's creating a rhythm that you're now starting to follow and you move way out of that aerobic pace. So listen to a podcast, maybe listen to this podcast, right?
Hey, perfect.
Where we're talking about, there you go. You're going to learn about running, you know, better running, better technique, better training, and you're going to run at the right pace because we're talking and it's a tempo that hopefully will engage and stop you from going out of those heart rate zones, you know, stop you from getting a bit too confident when it's supposed to be an easy run.
Maybe it's best to just try and break down the impact that aerobic exercise has on the body, and maybe we can sort of treat it in that way, if that sort of makes sense. So if we sort of say, like, okay, what impact, if we're talking about the whole of the aerobic system, what impact does working that have on the skeletal system?
Yeah, for sure. I think definitely starting from the structures deepest is the best. It's the best way I try and talk to people about their health and their fitness and their training. So yeah, the skeletal system is the deepest system that we utilize, and the aerobic exercise, it can really help, especially running aerobically, it can really help with developing bone density, because you're running over longer periods, hopefully over an hour. It helps develop the stiffness in those bones. So when we go out for a run, what do you think happens, guys? I've got a question for you now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the tables have turned.
What happens to the bone system when we go for a run, our skeletal system?
Go on, Jane.
I mean, does it get tired? Like, can your bones get tired? No, they can't. Bones can't get tired, can they? What happens? They get under pressure, I guess. Do they heat up? Can bones heat up?
This is great.
Why did I go first, Ben?
I just wanted to hear what you were going to say. I mean, I'm not assuming, in no way am I assuming that any of my guesses are better than the heating up. I wouldn't have said they're heating up my bones. I guess it's just looking at the spaces between bones is probably the easiest way of considering how they then might move when you run. So they're being influenced by...
Yeah, what Ben said.
Muscles and tendons and things like that.
Yeah, that's... Wow, you've all kind of... You both hit the nail on the head in some way.
Oh, really?
Jane, they get hot. Yeah. Hot bones.
You have.
Hot bones?
You have in some way. Okay, so... What happens is there's a bit of physics here, okay? So actually our bones bend and they break. Yeah, they bend and they break. Muscles act on bones and they pull bones in different directions, okay? One fact that I want you all to understand and remember from this podcast is one leg, when you jump and you land, when you're running, it actually has to withstand 2 to 3 times your body weight going through that leg. So that... bending is happening because of all of that force going through your leg. So you're having a bending moment. All of this creates actually your bones start to break down, and to rebuild and remodel, you have to get increased circulation. Some of that heat, Jane, some of that heat, some of that heat you're talking about. And this is called Wolf's Law. So a bone will develop and change under the forces that are applied to it.
Right. So when people say it's bad for your knees, you're actually strengthening your knees by breaking your knees? Do you have bones in your knees?
No.
So when people talk about it's bad
Manny's
for their...
like, unsubscribe, get me off the podcast.
I'm like, this is going left. Oh, I like that. So when people say it's bad for your knees, they're talking about the cartilage and the arthritis. Now, this is actually a common myth. It's a myth, everybody. Everybody listen to this. It is a myth. Ben, you can attest to this, can't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I have 2 knees and they've both been bad at points and it seems all right now. So yeah, I'd say so.
And Ben is back. Ben and I had a chat about his knees, and actually I hope you don't mind me sharing what we had a chat about Ben. Ben was quite anxious about, you know, my knees are not going to be the same, and it's the common thread of you hear about somebody who's been running, has been a very good runner or has played sport all their lives, and now they feel like their knees, and you know, they're not healthy, they haven't got the capacity to continue playing sport. But we have scientific evidence and literature looking at cartilage. Now, cartilage covers the bones. They keep our knees and our joints healthy. actually cartilage can regrow it. They can remodel. So they go through the same breakdown and regeneration that our bones do, as long as we do it effectively and progressively. So that really is a myth. And we're finding out from scientific evidence and studies which have looked at MRI of people's knees that this is not true.
If we're breaking our bones every time we go for a run, does that mean that we're like one run away from a stress fracture? Do you know what I mean? How do we... Is it a good thing? Is it... I'm baffled by this.
That's a really, really good question. So with aerobic running, we have to really understand that our body needs this running progressively. So I see a lot of patients, as a physiotherapist, I see a lot of patients who have said, okay, I would like to get ready for this marathon and it's in 7 weeks. So they do all their aerobic running, they try and fit everything in, and their bone, their skeletal system, it doesn't have enough time to recover. Because just like anything, you need time to recover, okay? You need a moment to recover. And the key thing is that time to recover, unfortunately, it's not the same for everybody. If you've been training and running and doing sport all of your life, especially at a really young level, your skeletal system has a level of density and stiffness that you will carry into your adulthood. And that's one thing that I have to be aware of. And I talk about athletic age to a lot of clients that I work with, because if you have a good athletic age, you've done sport all your life, that can predispose you to stiffer bones and less likelihood of a stress fracture. So it's all about managing your training load and not trying to fit everything in too quickly. And sometimes, yeah, actually you can be one or two runs away from a stress fracture, but it's all about how you've trained and how you've progressed to do what you're doing right now. And being aware that, what's your previous history? Have you run lots of marathons? Is this the first time you're running a marathon? Those things are key. And it comes down to also this thing of we do have this professional experience of seeing lots and lots of runners, and we can almost clinically identify this is going to be a high risk and make precautions and give people advice on that in that way.
All right, skeletal tick. Let's go. What would you want to do next?
I think we should do muscular. Should we do muscular? Because that connects everything.
Okay.
Cool. Muscular system. Okay, team. So, muscular system. Now, we have our muscles. We have the tendons that connect to the muscles. And we have our ligaments, okay? All these structures, again, they stretch and they have to manage the gravitational load of one leg. So as one leg hits the ground, do you guys remember how much force goes through it?
3 times.
Yes, team.
Yes.
Love that. Yes. So we have another law for you. So do you remember the first law I gave you?
Wolf's law.
Wolf's law.
Wilson. Wilson. Who's Wilson?
Now we have Davis's law. Davis's law tells us that soft tissue will develop and it will mold and it will remodel under the force that is applied on it. So when we go for a run, we definitely get some heating, we get increased circulation, but those tendons, those muscles, they all stretch, they contract, and they will go through changes. And again, a bit more physics. And that's super important, because we need to develop that system so it can manage and push us through. But this system also, aerobically, we get changes in the cells and in the mitochondria, which are in the cells. And this helps develop that engine and helps develop us to produce energy and go for a longer period of time and keep going. And that's super important. And this system is one of the most important systems if we're thinking about aerobic running.
Does aerobic running affect the muscle, as in we talked about with the bones sort of micro breaking in the sense, you know, and then if people are familiar with going to the gym and working muscles, essentially you're tearing the muscle in a micro tears, that which is what then allows it to build itself up again. Does aerobic running have that same impact, or is it a different type of muscle development?
To an extent, it can have the impact of providing you with really, so you're going to get lots of really slow twitch contractions, and those contractions are important. And you do get a development of muscle strength, but it's quite particular muscle strength because it's very specific for running. So yes, I definitely prescribe running as a strength exercise for somebody who is returning from a muscle injury, and they do get better because they're doing the specific strength exercise they need to get back to their sport. So yes, per se, it does cause some micro trauma, and then it remodels, but it's a very different type of trauma to, you know, going to the gym and building muscle bulk. And there's also a slightly different mechanism that happens when you do go to the gym regularly. You get almost like an inflammation of the muscle fibers, where we don't get that when we run. We don't get a large change in muscle fiber bulk. We probably get more output. So the muscle fibers you have and the muscle units you have, the output that they produce is more effective. So that's how I would say it was different.
And we've spoken a lot, Manny, about nerves and the nervous system. How does aerobic running, what's going on with your nervous system when you're running in this like ideal aerobic state?
So the nervous system, depending on how much aerobic running you're doing, it's really getting to be really effective in terms of the signaling. So the information it's sending to your muscles. Your muscles don't know what to do. They're told what to do by the nervous system, by the nerve fibers. So that becomes a really effective communication. And we know that people's mechanical running and the way they run can improve by large bouts of aerobic running. So you get better striking on the floor, better, you know, better overall mechanics, and hopefully start looking like Eliud Kipchoge down the street.
If only. If only.
Yeah, exactly. So aerobic running is really useful for that, in that regard. But we also know that if you're stressed, then you're kind of burning the candles at both ends, or you're overtraining. The nervous system is probably the first system to tell you that there's something wrong. You can feel quite irritable. That's linked to, you know, your brain and the nervous system and the connections. You can become extremely fatigued. You might get muscle tremors, and overall concentration and things like that really change. And the nervous system is a key indicator at times of when we are doing a bit too much of that aerobic or high intensity running.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So when we say muscle memory, it is actually true. You're like training your nervous system to remember how to do these things again and again and again.
Yes, for sure. It's such a crucial thing for us to think about the nervous system. I think nervous system is quite overlooked in general. I think it's one of the most important systems. And if you are ever concerned about how much aerobic running you're doing and how it's affecting you, that system is always the one that we want to inspect. And we there's lots of different tests we can do as physiotherapists and healthcare professionals to make sure that system is healthy. And it's definitely a crucial one that I think I want a lot of your listeners to always be thinking about.
Okay. The cardiovascular system, is that a system?
The heart and the blood vessels.
I'm learning so much. Can I just say,
great.
I hope the listeners are too, because I didn't know we had these many systems in the body. So yeah. I'm so glad we've got a physio on.
And yeah, I think that's the added benefit of when you're looking at runners from my perspective, and you can just hopefully give them a perspective of like, well, there's so many intertwining factors and so many complex things that it's a myriad of things that dance around and play with each other to get you to where you need to, get you out of the door. So the cardiovascular system, you've got, obviously your heart wall gets bigger, your heart's a muscle, so that will get bigger, and that will get stronger. It produces a stronger output, stronger contraction. The blood is pushed out, it's rushed out into your muscles quicker. And we also get something called angiogenesis, so more blood vessels being built in and around the areas that we need them to, delivering more oxygen, getting us, you know, a bigger system of energy to kind of access the muscular output. And it's all a really, really nice kind of interplay to get you more energy into your muscles and oxygen, obviously, into those muscles. So really, really important. I think some things to be aware of, obviously, if you're getting kind of, especially, I mean, I think we use caffeine a lot in day-to-day use. So in day-to-day training, if you're using a lot of caffeine and you're seeing changes in your heart rate and your resting heart rate is changing, it's getting higher, it's something to think about in terms of if your easy runs are becoming harder. All of this is kind of giving you indication that your cardiovascular system's under strain, and it might be something around how much of that aerobic running you're doing, combined with stress in your life, combined with, you know, all the other things we have to deal with in our lives as, you know, non-elite runners.
I think that's definitely the caffeine side of life, especially if you're a regular consumer of it and then you want to use gels in races with caffeine in them and stuff like that, and you're working at threshold. And if you pump like a lot of caffeine into your system, you're naturally pushing your heart rate higher. So if you're trying to hit like as hard as you can go, but you've got caffeine in the way, basically, because it's pushed your heart that much higher, it's definitely something that you see when people are like, "Oh my God, I just couldn't get there." And it's like, well,
yeah,
it's because you've too much.
And another thing we need to think about is how things are recorded. So if you just have a wrist strap compared to a wrist strap and a chest strap, we know that actually reduces the accuracy in recording your heart rate. And we know if you're stressed, that's really gonna, you know, you're stressed and you're adding caffeine. It's a double bubble in terms of how much you're gonna see in terms of changes of your heart rate.
Does the respiratory system come into cardiovascular, or is that something separate?
I would class it as something separate. I think we're starting to unpick breathing and how it changes our nervous system, and I've actually been doing some kind of work with Nike on some breathing exercises, and something will be coming out next year. A little plug there,
exclusive. You heard it here first.
But I think breathing really is going to be something that we need to unpick a little more, and how we how we're breathing in day-to-day life due to anxiety, stresses. Obviously, mental health is a big talking point at the moment. And discussing how mental health affects all of these systems is going to be crucial. But I think in terms of respiratory wise, when you're aerobically running, we want to be trying to expand those lower lobes, because at this point, it's just about us focusing in on our breath. So when I say lower lobes, I mean the lower lobes of your lungs. So trying to get those nice big deep breaths, especially if we're at conversational pace, we should be able to do that. So forcefully getting those breaths in and expiring that breathing out and that breath out. And we know that majority of people tend to breathe with their upper lobes and their upper chest, so hypoventilation. I can hear some deep breaths already on the
I'm just thinking, I'm trying to breathe. I'm like, honestly, this, I feel like I'm in a science lesson. I'm so baffled by all of the above. I've never even thought about how I breathe when I'm running. I think when you're swimming, you think about how you breathe, but I've never thought about how I'm breathing when I'm running, apart from when I'm like at the end of a race. Do you know what I mean? Am I allowed? Does everyone come in and say this, or
I've naturally been breathing. I haven't actually intentionally thought about, okay, have I taken a large breath in and all that kind of stuff. So I'm in the same boat as you, Jane. I've not actually, and this is something I'm starting to unpick over the last 18 months. How about you, Ben?
No, it's not one of those ones that's really entered into my head that much. As long as it's the air's moving in and out, I can kind of consider that I'm doing it right. Like that's as far as my thinking around it has got. I think I understand, like, definitely again, you can directly affect some parts of your body with your breath control. So if you're sort of obviously not hyperventilating, but if you're taking quicker, faster breaths than needs be, then you're going to increase your heart rate and you're going to make the running feel harder. So I think naturally there's a sort of sense of keeping as controlled as possible, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're breathing in the right areas, as you were talking about then, Manny. Like, that upper chest is the bit that you work a lot, and you don't think lower. You don't think, it's more kind of like the breathing exercises that come into yoga practice and things like that. It's when you're sort of really breathing into the stomach, like that sort of sense of inhaling and inflating your stomach, not obviously not swallowing air, but you know, like expanding down there. That feels more. And as a thought process of what you're saying, I can think, like, actually, I don't do that necessarily when I'm running, because I feel like I'm probably concentrating on, I don't know, posture or something which goes against a sort of sense of expansion.
I'm concentrating on finishing as fast as possible. I'm not going to
I
think most people are. Right? Like, I just want to get to the end. Right?
Yeah, I want this done. I'm not going to think about my breath. I'm just going to run.
But there must be loads of science in training your lungs to do. Because if you think of, like, even when you think of someone giving birth, it's all about how you're breathing.
Yeah.
And there must be science in it, not making it feel easier, but there must be so much in, like, training your lungs and focusing on that part. Does it make other things feel better? I don't know.
Yeah, so I used to work actually in intensive care when I used to work in the NHS. I used to work in intensive care, and I used to work in the acute medicine wards, which you got to see anything and everything. And you could see vividly. So we have the pulse oximeter, which goes on your finger, and it measures how much oxygen you have in your blood. And, you know, I would go and see a person, their oxygen was like 82%. Maybe they've come out of theatre and they haven't expanded their lower lobes of their lung. And you'd give them breathing exercises, you'd come back in 2 hours and they'd be like 99, 100%. And they'd be like, oh, they can go home. So it actually it works. I've seen it in practice. But I just never correlated and transferred it over to the general public, and also, you know, to us as people who are exercising and performing and running. And I think it's something that we really can benefit from. And from the work that I've been doing with somebody called Stuart Sanderman, It's really interesting, and I think it's going to be emerging topic which we're all going to be thinking about and discussing more.
So when we're running along doing our aerobic conversational pace, how do we think about breathing into these? Just do we just think about taking like deep breaths, holding it, breathing out as we're running? How do we put it into practice? Because I want to have super strong lungs.
This is what I like to hear. Okay, so Ben actually really, you know, summarized it quite well. It's that stomach breathing. So you're taking
the yoga breathing.
Exactly. You're taking a nice big breath in, trying to really focus in on your belly coming out, and you're expanding and pushing the diaphragm down. And that really will hopefully expand those lower lobes. And there's also something called box breathing, which you can check this out. It's really easily available to find on the internet, where you hold your breath, and that helps the lung tissue called alveoli, helps those expand by holding your breath. And then having a long breath out again helps them contract. But when you take your breath in, they'll expand a bit larger, and that helps open up your lobes, your lung lobes. So it's all about really thinking about that stomach coming out away from you. Does that make sense, Jane?
Yeah, it does. I'm gonna try it. I've done my run today, but tomorrow I'm gonna try and run slow and breathe.
I find it really useful for stress as well. It's, if you're having a stressful period, just two or three really large breaths is super useful.
And then what other systems have we missed?
I wanted to talk to you about the metabolic system. I feel this is one people may not have heard of or thought about. If I say that to you, what do you both think?
Food, eating.
Yeah, I think of, you know, when everyone says like, oh, you have to be in, oh, you're in the fat burn, Fitbits do it, don't they? Oh, you're in the fat burning zone. And I'm, as someone who's, I don't know, had my issues with food, I'm always like, oh God, I hate to think about exercise like that. But it's like the way it's kind of in our brains, isn't it? From, I guess, devices tell us we're in different burning zones of the body. And that's what I think of whenever I hear the word metabolic. I'm like, oh God, I'm in the fat burning zone. But is that not true? Is that fake?
So I think that's true per se. But I think what I want to get across to everybody is probably more about our adrenal glands. And what I think really can be seen is symptoms of overtraining, which happen, and we sometimes can just take them as, oh, it's just life, you know, you're just feeling a bit low. So these symptoms are lack of energy, you feel really weak, low mood, loss of appetite, unintentional weight loss, and increased thirst. And the adrenal glands, basically, they provide us with hormones that help regulate all of these things that we need, all of these systems. And I see it quite often when runners come in and they've had maybe multiple sites of pain, multiple injuries. They feel like their training hasn't been going well. They've been training for 8 to 10 months for maybe one or two marathons and had injuries such as stress fractures. And systemically, they're really suffering from a lack of hormonal balance. And yes, you can go and get blood tests and all those things, but I think first port of call really is just trying to regulate your training and reduce some of that aerobic running, because we have stressful lives. We have a lot going on. Unfortunately, we're not living in a camp like Kipchoge, so we have to we sometimes have to try and regulate our running, and sometimes, you know, people have 4 weeks on, 1 week off. I think sometimes that can be quite useful if you're new to the sport. If you've been running four times a week and on the fourth week you're finding it really difficult, tapering down and coming down and running less on that fifth week can be super crucial. So that's what I wanted to get across to the listeners today and to both of you. It's more about how your hormones and what's balancing your hormones, and it's just sometimes we try and do too much with everything else going on.
If we're talking about hormones, is it more complicated for female runners then?
For sure. And obviously, we know that training at different times of the cycle can affect women in different ways. And this emerging science is really incredible. And I think we need to be thinking about how runners train around their cycle. And that's something that some of the females that I've coached have given me, you know, an indication on and thought and advice around. So I definitely think that's something we need to start having a wider conversation about.
In stark contrast to the aerobic stuff, what's anaerobic, just quickly? Because when we can't go through all the systems again, we'll be here forever.
Yeah, anaerobic, we're looking at short explosive movements, and we're looking to use energy already available in our system, whereas aerobic tries to create energy through the cell and the mitochondria, which we were talking about before. So anaerobic is more of a power system. Think about it like that, and it's short bursts. And even sometimes if you're starting to run a little bit faster in a marathon, you might have to access that because you're really trying to create some power through your legs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's your, anyone who's racing a 5K, that's sort of more going to be your anaerobic system rather than aerobic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Manny, thank you so much for joining us. That was, as Jane said, basically a science lesson.
I've caught up on all my science.
But it's great to hear sort of just a breakdown of sort of, we discuss running as a whole, and we've talked about how running is beneficial as a mental health management system. And we had the last podcast was about how running affects cognitive health. But I don't think we've discussed the sort of overarching running as an aerobic exercise and how all the different elements of that affect different elements within the body. So yeah, really, and how obviously, to be running at your best, all of those things need to sync up together, and that's quite difficult to do. So it's important to sort of highlight that there are many things at work when we run that might not allow us to be at our best at all the time.
Yeah, and I think so. There's a paper by somebody called Arturo Casado. He's a Spanish middle distance runner, and he said the kind of indication of how well you're going to do with your running is how much you run over 3 years, 5 years, and 7 years. So it's how far you're running over years, rather than sometimes we think, you know, 18-week or 12-week cycle. I think movement is forever. That's what I wanted to let everybody know on this podcast, okay? So running and movement is forever. So try and think a bit more long-term, and really try and keep as much balance in your life as possible. Keep training hard, you know. The paper by Arturo Casado talked about, you know, some of the, obviously it was in elite athletes, so we have to be careful how we relate that back to us, because we have complex lives and we're not running and then going for a nap. But he talked about kind of like trying to do 100 kilometers is a nice number per week for some, you know, more experienced runners. But if you're not as experienced, do as much as you can while balancing as much as you can and ensuring that you feel energetic and ready to do the next run. That's how you can navigate and identify if you're training well, I think. If you're ready and excited to do your next run, then you're probably in a good state.
Manny, where can people find out more about what you do?
Okay, so you can follow me on Manny_O on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok. Because we are on TikTok too. Yes, we are on TikTok too. And honestly, if you type in Manny Avola on Google, I'm quite high up there, because there's not very many Mannies who run and coach, and there's not very Mannies who have a website called Manny Athlete Physio either. So there's lots out there, but I just wanted to give everybody a bit of insight into the things I think about when I look at runners, when I try and support people, when I give information out there. It's good to try and drop a bit of science in there and help people understand a bit more.
It's great. And thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate it for sure.
No, thanks so much for having me.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runners World podcast. A huge thank you to our guest, Coach Manny, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can once again subscribe to 3 issues of Run of World with just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnersworldpodcast to get this offer. And you can listen to the Runners World UK podcast on Acast, iTunes, all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runners World UK and please do subscribe. Thanks for listening and we'll see you again next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.